Hi, everybody, and welcome to our continuation of work with the science of triangles. And we'll be admitting you to the main room because nothing's going on in the holding room right now. We had been working on page 98 a bit of the book, and now I'd like to let's see if I can see where we were here. I'd like to go to a little bit of page 150 and 151, which seems to show triangles which begin with Aries and go forward, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and also begin with Aries and go backwards. Those are, in a way, the beginning and ending triangles, and if you are actually on the immutable cross, taking some early incarnations, then the wheel is moving, I guess we could say clockwise. So we get Aries, Pisces, and Aquarius. And sometimes we even begin with Pisces, since I want to say that it is, while Cancer is considered to be the sign in which the human race took its first incarnation as a whole, somewhere he talks about Pisces with its emblem, go forth into matter, as the sign in which the individual human being, now a human being, takes its very first incarnation. And that adds a bit of a complexity to the situation. But I was just talking to BL and to Michael and Joe, and I have this book called The Egoic Lotus, and it's a video book, and maybe BL, you could put the link to it, the present link that we have. You could go there and see what I've said about those different ways of proceeding clockwise, counterclockwise, around the wheel. Certainly when we begin, Pisces, Aquarius, and Capricorn end up being the sort of lead-off signs for our experiences as a human being. So, you know, of course, it has me curious as to what we discussed last time, but I don't want to really get into that too much. I think there was a lot about, wasn't there a lot about Mars in that? Does anybody remember? Signs of death and ways of dying. Looks like it.
Signs of death. You talked about Aries, Scorpio, and Pisces, and the three deaths that are undergone. The burning ground, the death of the personality, and relinquishing all influences holding man the immutable cross. So each of those were on the different crosses.
Yeah, so it's a burning, suffocating, and drowning. as they used to say in the old wild westerns, name your poison, whichever way you want to go. But these three signs lead us to various kinds of death, which end up, of course, being a release into something, you know, much freer. So maybe that's enough to know about. We're on what are we on here? Program 103, is that correct? It seems to say that, yes. Yes. Okay. And just so you know, I'll be continuing tonight. Tuya is on her way home now from the Little Bear Meditation Center, but when you're on a train, you just can't really conduct a program because of the irregularity of the signal. So I will handle that vigil that we've been doing, and that occurs at 7:20 p.m. GMT, and our focus there, you know, it just seems to get worse and worse. It's the whole specter of starvation. What you call a deculturalization. I was reading something so interesting. The Afghani people are very colorful. They're very artistic. They have these beautiful, beautiful sort of ceremonial attire with all the different colors and very brilliant and beautiful. And they are not used to being put inside a burqa, where basically you become a non-entity. So there's someone was telling me that our colleague, Leonie Hodson, she's an excellent astrologer and working in the healing field with so many good ideas. She said it's too late now for those who would suppress the Afghanistan spirit. It's smoldering away, and the people won't have it because they've seen what it can be like during the last 20 years to really be able to express themselves. So that's the kind of thing we'll be talking about. And I know I'm never as good as Tuya is at gathering images that reinforce that. I'm not sure there's too much I can do, but we can at least talk about that hidden culture, that forcible suppression of the culture behind what I've been calling lately masculine medievalism. And I've even added the word barbarous. The word barbarous, of course, means beard, but okay. It's like a theft. We're stealing your culture, and you cannot express yourself as is in your soul to express. You cannot do it. We won't let you. Now, that is a crime, and we'll be trying to work internally. It's a spiritual crime. We'll be trying to work internally to lend our help in that way. So death is very interesting. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. In other words, the Lord, the Christ, he's here. He is the coming one. He is the Kalki avatar, or the modern version of the rider on the white horse. And it seems that some kind of death is required for him to have his will, which brings release to the people. And, you know, when you're on a burning ground, or when you're spiritually suffocating or spiritually drowning, something emerges after that, which is a much freer expression of the soul. So that's the kind of thing we were, I'm sorry, excuse me, that's the kind of thing we were talking about last time. And it went up, yes, to page 98. Now we have a chance to look at page 150 and 151 about the lead-in triangles for people who are traveling clockwise or counterclockwise. It's been a long time since either you or I, I'm so sorry, it's been a long time since people like you or people like myself have taken that go forth into matter incarnation. That's just the very, very beginning. And now it can be presumed that we are traveling counterclockwise on the wheel. You know what's so interesting? Sometimes counterclockwise seems sinister. It seems like the Nazi use of the swastika. But from another perspective, it represents the proper order of progression in the zodiac, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. So, and it just depends on how you use that. And in this case, the clockwise progression is the more primitive. And presumably, we have been through that a long time ago. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to, well, first of all, I just want to say hi. Really glad you're here. And of course, welcome my colleagues here, Mikhail, who's the host, and BL and Joe, who are really here and helping in the communications work. And then and Veronica, and I just want to say hi, and Anna Sklar, and Annette Ebbett, and Antoinette Dutois, and Ario, Catherine Pyre, and Francois Boulanger, Georgina Sprague, and Jan Oliveira. I think you asked a question, Jan, some time ago about what isolated unity is. And I sent my reply to the person who didn't ask that question. But if you haven't received yet my reply of how I think of it, I've got to get that to you. And then there's Joe Garso. Hi, Joe. And Joan Schofield. I could still use your email address, Joan. If you've sent it to me and I've overlooked it, I'm sorry, but otherwise it might help. Karen Gritzka, Mariana Larson, Martin Dupont, and Mayra Santos, Nasa Burrows, and Tia Clark, and Vivian. It says G-S. I'm not sure what that means, but hi, Vivian. And then Yvonne Weniger. Welcome to all of you. And I'm glad that you are present to absorb even a little bit of what we're talking about. I'm absorbing it as I go, and I realize how much more there is than what I may be saying about it. So we just are patient with ourselves, and when something of interest seems to strike the consciousness during our conversation, do write it down for yourself somehow, so you have a chance later to review it, and we can discuss it a little bit. Now I'm going to I'm always going to be clearing my throat, I'm afraid. I'm going to page 150, and I want to make sure you see it. You do? All right. So we shall be able now to cover our present thesis, anent, the philosophical implications of the great wheel of the zodiac. Have you ever, may I add or ask, did you ever hear that word, anent, before you began to read Alice Bailey? I never did, but it's like the word about, but it seems to be more targeted. So we're talking about the philosophical implications of the great wheel of the zodiac. And we can do that now, he says, far more rapidly, as I can now leave what else remains to be said in connection with the three crosses. And may I add, this, we're going to study that. We're going to study the crosses. It's a fascinating subject. What might be said in connection with the three crosses until I come to that part of section six. There I shall have much interest to point out, much of interest. And he goes on and says, I have dealt with these three crosses at some length whilst we were covering the first three signs of the zodiacal wheel as it revolves from Aries through Pisces to Taurus. Now that's the clockwise type of revolution. You begin with the most primitive kind of response to the human condition in Aries. Basically, you seek form again and again. Let form again be sought. It's a reincarnational impulse. Then you go through Pisces and you just keep going what we would consider to be zodiacally backwards until we reach Taurus, where desire is intensely refocused, and in Aries you plunge in once again. Okay, each of these three is found on one of the crosses. And thus, in themselves and in their relationship, they constitute a complete unit. Well, if we kind of look at what we're seeing from the beginning to the end, and given the second step, we have Aries, the cardinal cross, Pisces, the mutable cross, and Taurus, the fixed cross. So three different crosses are united in these three signs, which span the entire zodiacal circle, considered from the clockwise perspective. And I want to say this, too, that when you're getting ready to change from the mutable cross, the common cross, this cross of kind of everyday living, and you want to change onto the fixed cross of the soul, that transference is oftentimes accomplished through Pisces. And I wouldn't be surprised if we go higher still and you're found in connection with hierarchy, but you want to make another transition into Shambhala. I say Pisces, as an ending sign, will again be found, helping you make the transition onto the cardinal cross where we find Shambhala. Now, look, think of it. You have certain signs of the zodiac prominent in your zodiacal wheel, and that means, along with your ray chart, that you are definitely learning certain lessons based upon the energies conveyed by those signs as those energies function at your particular level of evolution. Now, wouldn't you think that any esotericist or student of esotericism had better know that? Why did my solar angel, angel of the presence, decide that I would be endowed with these particular signs? The sun sign is easy. The rising sign, maybe you have an hour or two every day, and those are the ones that the moon sign is also fairly easy. You can feel that. But then when you start adding the rising sign, you just have a short interval. And when you want the sun, the rising sign, and the moon to tell a certain story, then the window is not very large. The window of opportunity of when to be born. But we know that the impulse towards birth, unless, you know, your doctor is playing golf and wants to hurry things up. I mean, you know, this is a kind of a sin against the timing of the soul. But that window of opportunity to be born with those main energies prominent is not a big window. It's basically a couple of hours a day on for about 2 or 2.5 days, and that's it. So everything is meant to be very well timed, and later we can research, the time will come, why it is that these particular signs were given to us for this incarnation, and then we can make the most of them. Of course, this all, it all sounds like nonsense to the non-aspiring, strictly personal type of individual, but DK has given us a huge insight into the kind of dynamics that operate behind the scenes, and we'll try to take advantage of that sun, moon, and rising sign as the major triangle of our astrological chart. And there are, of course, other triangles too. Now, let's go on a little. So each of these three, Aries, Pisces, Taurus, is found on one of the crosses, cardinal, fixed, mutable, and thus in themselves and in their relationship, they constitute a complete unit which describes the clockwise motion undertaken when you are in the early phase of evolution. It is interesting to note, he says, how these three signs are either those of commencement upon the mutable cross, when it says, let form again be sought, it may be Aries, but in consciousness you're on the mutable cross, or of consummation upon the fixed cross. I think that's very interesting that he says some unusual things, and he says if you want to study the early person, study the cardinal cross. This is exactly opposite of what we usually think. If you wanted to study the disciple, study the mutable cross, and if you want to study the initiate, study the fixed cross. It's very different suggestion that he is making compared to our usual thoughts. Our usual thoughts tell us there's a triangle. It begins with the mutable cross or a mutable sign. It moves to a discipleship sign in which the soul is crucified upon the fixed cross and undergoes either blinding light, fiery pain, bitter woe, or liberation. And finally, for such great beings as the Chohans and Sanat Kumara, and who knows who beyond that, is the cardinal cross experience. So he gives you two different kinds of experiences. One is the one we expect, and the other, which I just spoke about earlier, is the one we don't expect. But let's say you could have any kind of chart whatsoever and draw from it the potentials which are suitable to the level of evolution at which you stand. I can use Aries in three different ways. I can use Pisces in three different ways. Any sign of the zodiac I can use in three different ways, depending upon whether I am traveling the mutable cross in consciousness, or whether I am traveling or upon the fixed cross in consciousness, or whether I have been liberated as a quasi-shambolic being into the cardinal cross in consciousness. It's like the sign, in a way, doesn't make too much difference. It's what your consciousness is. Now, let's be honest and let's be clear. Most of us, where are we? We're making the transition from the mutable cross to the fixed cross of the soul. we're not on the cardinal cross, okay? No. Even if we have lots of cardinal signs, we're not in consciousness on the cardinal cross. So, you know, are you crucified now on the cross of the soul, undergoing those experiences which will liberate your soul? Or are you still making the transition from consciousness on the mutable cross and not yet entirely on the fixed cross? Now that you have to evaluate for yourself, but chances are that if you're really on the fixed cross, you have taken the first initiation. And the great majority of those who worked with Master DK in an ongoing, continuous manner had stood before the Christ and taken the first initiation. All right, so here's how we look at this. It is interesting to note how these three signs are either those of commencement upon the mutable cross or of consummation upon the fixed cross. And I explained that mode of thinking that DK offers us, where we go ordinary man, cardinal, advanced man and aspirant disciple, mutable, and initiate man, fixed cross. Okay. So Aries. The first aspect is latent in the beginning. He says, well, whatever your ray may be, Aries will strengthen the will, he says. But in the beginning, the first aspect of divinity, when we're just starting out as a human being, is not front and center. Aries, finally, is considered the most powerful of the first ray signs. But that's not until quite a bit later, when it is identified with the Father in heaven aspect. So the first aspect in the beginning is latent, and it says movement onward into incarnation. And how does he discuss it? The will to manifest. Aries, as you know, has both the first and the seventh ray, and it will eventually use that seventh ray to really come out upon the physical plane. Experience upon the cardinal cross. Now, that's the beginning, and the cardinal cross was considered, at first, for beginners. Now, I know that sounds strange, because we usually think of cardinal as being the great consummation before you really break into a high status of Chohanship and be like the Christ. But there you are, at first, the ordinary human being, and the first aspect is latent. The next thing is Pisces. Pisces, as you know, carries the second ray and the sixth ray in this particular solar system. but it's not a complete expression because it's kind of drowned, you might say. It's kind of overcome. It kind of engulfs the swimmer. Now, turn to page 483. I'll go there with you. Here is page Treatise on White Magic, and we're going to get to page 473. I hope I didn't say 83, but anyway, 473. And we'll take a look at something. That's 478. That's not correct. I've got to try again. We're going to take a look at something important that is said. And this is the drowning experience that we were discussing before. Now, if you want to become a master, and I guess everybody does at some point want to move on and become a master, study these 15 counsels. Because then if you do that, you can, as the yellow shows, pass the tests for adeptship or for mastership. But take a look at what can happen in Pisces. And it happens to so many people at first. This is how they drown. Control the body of emotion. For the waves that rise upon the stormy sea of life engulf the swimmer, shut out the sun, and render all plans futile. So, at first, the whale swallows Jonah, right? Later, Jonah, with his big appetite, he swallows the whale, but the whale of great size, and Pisces does rule those large aquatic animals, in conventional astrology, Jonah is engulfed by the whale. And everything that he might have planned is prevented because he drowns in a way. So, you know, I memorized these. I couldn't necessarily repeat them right now, but I used to repeat them to myself every day as a reminder of what had to be done. Okay. DK is filled with advice about what has to be done. And, you know, it almost seems unfulfillable if there's any kind of word like that. Okay. So, going back. That's the second aspect. Desire for existence. Because the second aspect is related to desire, to that magnetism which puts all of the divided parts and pieces back together. The love or desire for material things. When I was an inexperienced astrologer, I used to think to myself, oh, you've got a lot of Pisces, you must be spiritual. But some of the most materialistic people I ever met were in Pisces because they weren't using Pisces in the higher manner. They were just simply engulfed by everything around them and they wanted it. Constant mutation, okay, it's a mutable sign. Experience upon the mutable or common cross. Well, all of these, of course, can be used, both Aries and Pisces. They can be used when a person has in their consciousness the common cross orientation. Do you, do I, right now, have that orientation? Well, maybe in some of our less illumined moments, we do. But in general, wouldn't you say, we have a fixed cross orientation. We want to bring forth the soul, even if it means suffering, which it will mean. So the true second aspect here is latent, and it's more like the sixth ray of desire, which is the lower of the Piscean rays, is taking over. Now, what's the next one? I'm always surprised by what he does. You know, if we think Master DK is easy in any respect, he's not. And you have to think very carefully with him, step by step, not rushing. There is no rush, no hurry, and yet there is no time to lose. This is from the rules of the road. Each pilgrim, sensing this, presses his footsteps forward until he finds himself surrounded by his fellow men. Now, the next sign in sequence, he looks at Aries, Pisces, Taurus as the whole clockwise revolution, but now he's not dealing with the whole revolution. He is dealing, of course, with early days, because he's going clockwise. The third aspect is latent. And you know what? Aquarius, even though it transmits the fifth ray, is deeply associated with the third ray as well, as it should be, being the third in the clockwise division. So the true quality of the third ray is not yet really coming out. What is coming out is still quite a very strong materialistic bias. Let desire inform, be ruler. That is the kind of early mantra for Aquarius. Let desire inform, be ruler. Later, of course, you know it, it's much different. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. It's much different. Okay, consecration. Now note this. In a way, our consciousness is still very much personal. Not at all yet the real consciousness of the soul. Now, no. We're, in terms of our orientation, we are really on the mutable, ordinary cross of everyday living that so many people are on right now, and that's where there's a big battle going on in the United States and in other countries, common cross people in their consciousness are fighting against those who know there is a soul and have stepped on the sacrificial path of being crucified on the fixed cross. That's what the big battle's all about. Now, if you try to bring that out to people, you have to do a lot of teaching to get them to listen to you. Consecration to the service of the lower self. Sometimes I think, you know, Aquarius is like a great shower of good things. But instead of turning that rain, that shower of good things upon others, you just stay in the shower yourself. And you don't care that someone may be waiting outside to use the shower. As a matter of fact, the hot water will run out and you don't care. So consecration to the service of the lower self. I will serve myself. This is what Aquarius can mean when the consciousness is upon the immutable cross. Selfishness. Now, you wouldn't think so. You know, in ordinary astrology, oh, it's Aquarius. It's the age of Aquarius. These are the servers. Well, you're not looking at the whole picture. I've seen so many people who are leaders in the movements which can be called nothing but selfish. And yet they are Aquarians. Okay, but where in general is their consciousness fixated? In the early personal experience of the mutable cross. Experience then upon the fixed cross, but in a selfish way. Now, this is a very important sequence because there's a lot of people about whom you can't say, oh, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius, wonderful triangle, they're going to be spiritual. Not at all. They're going to use these potentially spiritual signs in a non-spiritual, selfish, personal, isolationistic manner. And so we have to be really careful when we're doing our esoteric astrology to assess where the person really stands. Now, people like you and me, we have association with a lot of people on the path, and maybe more association with people who are really on the path than those who are not. Although I will say that you may, in your family, of near ones, as Master Moria calls them, find people sitting down at the same table. He says, some of them are going left and some of them are going right. So just because they are your family members, as you probably well know, it doesn't mean that they're all on the path of true spirituality. So that has to be estimated first. And are we good at that? Can we experience a person, look at how they function and say, ah, yes, it appears they are reversing the wheel, meaning things are going to start going in the normal order, instead of being shoved down there below the diaphragm where all the personal centers are being stimulated but the higher centers are not being stimulated. This requires a lot of objectivity. You know, and as I get older, I look back at the people I've known, and only now am I realizing where, in my estimation, they really did stand, and for what reason, and why I could work with them easily or not easily. You basically have to love everybody, is what DK says. Even, well, love your enemy. I mean, who said that? All right? And so you may love people, but you find out at the moment they're just not headed in the same direction that you are. And as DK tells us, it'll be a long time before the average individual is ready for occultism. How long, he didn't say, but okay, a long time. Now let's look at it differently. When these three signs form the end of the cycle of expression upon the reversed wheel, which is the counterclockwise wheel, how we normally look at astrology, there's so little of all this that is understood by the average astrologer. It's only when you really read into DK and his astrology and reology that you recognize how much people are missing of the truth by just following the ordinary astrology. Oh, look, it's better than nothing, okay? But it's not the whole story. So here's Aquarius. The third aspect is now expressed, and there's a connection with the higher mind. You know, the higher mind is that part of our mind which really flies. And you may notice, if you think about Aquarius, that it's associated with aviation and being above it all in certain ways. I'm remembering the chart of Charles Lindbergh, who flew solo, was it 1927, something, in the Spirit of St. Louis across the Atlantic Ocean. Very prominent Aquarius. I'm remembering a wonderful singer, John Denver, who had a private plane, and I don't know whether it was a glider or whatever it was, he met his death that way, flying above it all, and he couldn't control it, and he died. And very prominent Aquarius. So it tends to elevate you, bring you up into the higher mind. The third aspect, correlated with the higher mind, is now expressed. It's not latent, to be expressed later. Consecration to the service of the whole. Well, that's how most of us are going to end our reincarnational cycle, as world servers. Not necessarily as world saviors, it's a harder job. The death or negation of all personality selfishness. Well, think about the sun, think about Leo, think about how the egotistical version of the sun is in detriment or weakened in the sign Aquarius. So eventually, you're not thinking of yourself, you're really thinking about the other groups, people you're meant to help, and your personality selfishness dissolves. This is how we're used to thinking of Aquarius. We just forget that there are people going both ways on the wheel, because ordinary astrology doesn't tell us that. A lot of us have studied ordinary astrology for a long time, and maybe we received quite a shock when we started to work with DK's astrology. A culmination of the experience upon the fixed cross. Yes, okay, here it goes. Fixed cross, all right? Blinding light, Taurus. Fiery pain, Leo. Bitter woe, Scorpio. And yet the cross of liberation, Aquarius. Culmination of experience upon the fixed cross, getting ready to transfer onto the cardinal cross. You know, when you take the fourth initiation, you're carrying your own cross. You're not on the fixed cross, you're not on the cardinal cross. You're in some kind of no man's land in between those two. Now, next in the higher sense of the term comes Pisces. And now it's not the second divine aspect of love being engulfed by desire. Now it is expressed, and it's connected with the Buddhic plane, which is the plane on which our monads congregate in the fourth or ninth creative hierarchy of monads. We're meant to express Buddhi. So what does it say? Emergence of a world savior. Very hard to do. And that's why so few who are wonderful servers do not take the additional step, a very sacrificial step, of being a world savior. Death, there we go, of all separative desire and love, even spiritual longing and aspiration. This is really, you're really asking nothing for the personal self. DK advises us to do that. Ask nothing for the personal self. And if we examine ourselves closely, we're going to see, we surely do ask something for the personal self. Culmination of experience upon the mutable cross. Okay, so this leads to a great transition into the orbit of Shambhala. The world savior is infused with Shambhalic energy. Very, very hard to handle. And that's why Christ, whose cosmic decanate is Pisces, struggled so hard in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he was anchoring the divine will in an entirely new way. And if you really want to look at an example of relatively, almost totally complete selflessness, he's going to be our example, our exemplar. Now, right now, I'm sure you and I do not know whether we will end our incarnational cycle in the first part of this triangle and be, you know, a world server and helping many and so forth, or whether we will go still farther and become a shambolic being and respond even more intensely to the monad and basically give up everything for the will of God in Pisces. We, you know, we can guess and we can say, oh, that's what I'm going to do, but we're pretty far from that. Now, finally, Aries, where it all began, it ends. The most powerful of the first race signs, associated particularly with God the Father. Now, you might almost say that Aquarius can be God the Holy Spirit, number three, Pisces, God the Son, or daughter, God, you know, God the Child, the second aspect, and Aries, God the Father. We have not fully, by any means, expressed what is deep, the power deep within God the Father, as Aries allows us to approach that. But if you look at India, with its Aries soul and its history of Vedanta and Brahmanism and those great and final perceptions, maybe we'll get some idea of what it is to find the first aspect expressed, not in the dismal corruption that we find in India now, but as it used to be and as it will be. So, appearance of the will to cooperate with the plan. Okay, and you just turn to page 332 in your esoteric astrology book and you'll see recognition and work with the plan. The death of self-will entirely, and it should be a little s even. But if it's self-will, it's even the death of soul-will. It's only the one will that becomes your objective, culmination of experience upon the cardinal cross. And there is that great oneness, we might say, to which Aries can admit us. Well, there's a lot here. And I'm going to stop now. I usually try to stop around an hour into this. And if someone of our team will remind me where to go when we next pick up, I might just have some continuity. Just going to look at one paragraph here. The same basic mode of considering the three crosses can be carried out with Gemini, Taurus, Aries, or the reverse, Aries, Taurus, Gemini. Three signs of great subjectivity and the inaugural triangle of the whole clockwise, counterclockwise wheel. How we should be traveling. And probably, if you're here with DK and the Bailey books and you're studying, that's how you're traveling. Remembering always that the mutable cross governs the wheel of ordinary progress, the fixed cross governs it on the reversed progress during discipleship. So that's where we're aiming now. The cardinal cross in reality governs both processes, but that is only understood when initiation has taken place. All right, so there's a lot more here to go over when we have a chance to do it. And I'd like to pick up next time where I leave off this time. And I hope, you know, you're slowly, slowly getting the idea. I'm trying to get the idea myself. I'm trying to get the idea. And here is, we might say, this is ordinary progress. And we'll do it, put that color. It's kind of an astral color, although it can mean more. And here, there's nothing I can do with this. I'd like to be able to make this. I can't do it. Let's see, what have I got? I've got that. Green, no. Well, I'll use that color. It's not exactly right, but it's okay. All right. This is what we've covered. The triangle coming and going. And it's the triangle which has to do with that, which is in terms of clockwiseness above Aries. And then when we get together next time, we'll look at Gemini, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Gemini, Taurus, Aries. So that would take us to, let's see, how far can I go? I'll go this way. And this is the ending of the program for the 15th of September 21, and it'll be, is this program 103 right now? Maybe?
Yes, it is program 103.
And the next time is
what date? The next date that I see on the calendar is 13 October.
Uh-huh. 13th October, okay. All right. There are some other little intricacies here, but in the video book called The Egoic Lotus, and which right now you can pick up on Moria Federation website, and soon, I hope, pick it up on Makara and YouTube.
It's already on.
It's on both.
Wow, right. You guys are fast.
And we put that in the chat box, but if anybody came in later and can't see either one, the Makara link or the YouTube link, let us know and we'll put them in there again.
Great. Thank you. Okay, and so keep going with this subject for Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Gemini, Taurus, Aries. That should help me get oriented. All right. Okay, friends, so basically what we've gone over today is not too difficult to understand. We just have different objectives depending upon the stage of the path that we are treading and the kind of consciousness that we have. And may I say that I hope all of us are developing fixed cross consciousness, which will eventually bring out the liberation of the soul. Yes, after a lot of pain along the way, yes, but it will bring out liberation. And then that liberation will lead us through a very distressing circumstance that we call the fourth initiation. It will lead us to cardinal cross consciousness, considered in the usual way, from mutable to fixed to cardinal. Does anybody have any questions, thoughts, statements that you'd like to?
Yes, we have a comment here from Tia. She says, and this was early on that she made this, along with the rapid economic decline, Afghanistan faces a number of ills. For those who track trends in domestic violence and the abuse of children, sexual and otherwise, there is a marked increase in this behavior in times of economic crisis. In addition to high-level view, we need to delve into the weeds a bit in this situation and understand who are the people most at risk. We must support the protection of the defenseless children and women in Afghanistan who are subject to ill treatment as chattels and dehumanized in the grossest of ways during this time. Pure evil, all caps, and protection, all caps.
Okay, this is very well stated, and with our, you know, Afghanistan vigil, we're looking at a country which could become, as it once was, a hub for all kinds of abuses and violence and terrorist groups assembling and not only harming their own people, but especially the most vulnerable, but harming other countries in a very deliberate way. So that's why we're working with the vigil, and you're exactly right, you know. There's the high and there's the low. And right now, we have to make sure that this, we have to work hard to keep the egregious expression of evil tendencies neutralized to the extent possible. I do believe it will be. There's such a spirit of rebellion against the conquering forces that in a way don't even belong in Afghanistan. So we say, the women, let's say, are going to be the victims of everything. But they also are demonstrating an ability to fight back. And I don't think that that spirit of resistance will easily die. Like I say, it's a cultural disenfranchisement. People are being robbed of their culture, and they just, I think, will not tolerate that. But meanwhile, of course, some pretty terrible things are happening, and we keep them always in mind when we do our work on their behalf. Well, thanks for that, Tia. Okay, anything.
Yes, Tia's got her hand up. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tia, if you wanted to speak.
Yeah, Michael, I just wanted to add, you know, it's always great to have the long view and all of these things, but we always have to keep an eye on something like this, because if you track back and you think about just in America, and the time, the schedule of how or when, you know, slavery came to America, and the time period between that and the Emancipation Proclamation, and the time period from that between the Emancipation Proclamation and Brown v. Board of Education, and then the time, the intervening period between that and, you know, our present-day Black Lives Matter movement. There can be awareness and consciousness, but the lag time we have to experience, so many people suffer and so much tragedy can happen. So, like I said, it's always great to have a long view and a high level view of things, but we also have to hold to the light of day the tremendous suffering and what can happen to people, and really have heart support and love and work hard for people who are brothers and sisters who are suffering some of the similar things. I mean, when you look at America, the headlines today, we're having a congressional hearing over a pedophile doctor who was abusing Olympic gymnasts. And I just read a 111-page Inspector General report, how the FBI, who was supposed to protect these young girls, failed, and it was done deliberately. So the what happens with women and what happens with children and the dehumanization and the use of them, you know, as elements of war. If you look at the final, the Fuhrer, Nazi Germany, what happened in Bosnia-Herzegovina, you know, what happened in Vietnam, it can happen in Afghanistan too. And so we have to be aware, you know, and keep these things in mind when we do our work, that it's very insidious. It's more than just education. It's more than just having women's rights. It's about slavery in its most invidious and insidious form, and that we have to be vigilant and be aware of it and address it and hold it to the light of day. That's all I wanted to say.
It's well stated and very true. And, you know, we're not Congress people, we're not senators, we're not members of the House, but we are students of esotericism, and we have to have these kind of immediate abuses in our sights when we work esoterically on behalf of those who are suffering under them. Right now, of course, this is true, and sometimes it's difficult to say, well, is our work really having an effect? But we have to believe that it is having an effect, and that in terms of consciousness, which will change behaviors, we have to be part of a process that we know will follow through and will bring about change. Now, how rapidly can that occur? That's the question. Some people say, hey, go back in there, kick the Taliban out again, kick ISIS out again, you can do it. You have the weaponry. You have the know-how. Get rid of those people. They don't belong, especially oppressing everybody else. And that's, you know, some very astute people say that that's not off the table, that that could happen. But then again, you know, we're into the endless war syndrome. So we have to stay tuned and do our best for the moment, esoterically, with the deplorable conditions as the something happened there. The recording stopped, and I cannot tell you why that happened, but please, who's ever working up there, be careful. Otherwise, we'll have our work going on and no record of it. Okay. Thank you, Tia. Anything else?
I don't see anything else. Although I am hearing something in the background there.
Yeah, it's a pleasant sound. Michael Crow would know more about that, about what that is. Okay, friends. Look.
Hold on. We just got one. And Veronica says, this line of thinking is what started the situation.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
I think she meant what you were just talking about the people who say we have the capability to go in there and smack them around. But then, as you said, it gets on to the endless war again.
They have a fanatical adherence to a narrow point of view about which they feel completely justified. And it is a terrible imbalance. And that imbalance is what has to be rectified. Look, if you think about it, if this goes on and on, the oppressors become the oppressed. It, you know, whether you're a man, you're a woman, this goes on long enough, the people that are abusing will be abused. It's just a vicious circle. So we need to help to cure the attitudes of not only the barbarous medievalist male contingent, but also of the women who, probably many of them in former days, were exactly like the abusers. That's how that karmic circle operates. The whole society needs a purging from that Sharia proclamation, which came out of what? You know, obviously, it's a great distortion of what is meant to happen under the divine plan. Okay.
All right, and then Yvonne's got her hand up.
Yvonne, yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Michael, last night, can you hear me?
Yep, you bet.
Okay. Last night on CNN, they were talking about we should go back in there and get all these people out of there that didn't have a chance, all these Afghan people, and there's this big debate going on, and the talk was, there was a woman there, and I forget what her name was. She said, the ones who are pushing for us to go back in there and start another 20-year-old war and to do this, are the to get these Afghan people out, are the ones that blocked for the last couple years to speed up the process of immigration for these people to bring them out of Afghanistan. They kept blocking it because they didn't want these foreigners coming into our country. Now, they're the ones that are screaming to go in there and save them. So
I know.
We call them hypocrites, which they are.
Hypocrisy in a high degree. The Afghans, in their eyes, are unworthy. They don't want them as citizens. And besides, they might just vote Democratic if they had a path to citizenship. So, and yet they want us to go in there and, you know, kick some ass. They want us to really, really show who's boss, you know. So it's a entirely hypocritical situation. And when I look at the architect of all this, behind Donald Trump and behind these people stands a malevolent character who's quite quiet, but he has a lethal hatred of immigrants. I'm not going to name names now, but some of you have studied it and you know who I mean. There's a real Machiavelli working behind all this and determining a policy which is, like you say, full of hypocrisy.
Michael, I just wanted to point something out because it, I struggle with it in Western views, is that we have no, we don't study history. And the Afghanistan people were heading to a progressive situation before we backed the Mujahideen against Russia. And that was when we attacked the Democratic Republic of Afghanistan against Russia. And so it's a really messy situation. That a lot of different Western countries were and have been involved in creating these, this groundwork for all of this confusion. And then we sit maybe in the West and say, well, we need to go change and fix them again. And that's basically what starts it, because from our point of view, we live in a country where we can't even imagine the kind of lives that they're living. And they may take a while to get more progressive, but just, I mean, we're in Syria, we're in Yemen, we're in Somalia. We've got to clean our house. The West's got to clean our house before we...
There have been abuses by the West, no question about it. And just to get at Russia, back the Mujahideen, yeah, all that, it's very messy. But okay, we know that, and okay, we, our options, what are our options? And we have to learn to be very effective, people like ourselves, in this esoteric work. Very effective. And we all, there's always room to be so. Thanks for the, you know, reminder. Okay. Well, we're getting to the end now.
Yeah. Vivian says, I wonder how the pure feminine spirit incarnates or expresses in our world.
Okay, I'm going to have to hear that one more time.
Okay. I wonder how the pure feminine spirit incarnates or expresses in our world.
That's a huge question. It's a huge question. And basically, Atlantis was a matriarchy. The Aryan Age was a patriarchy. And now, a balance is needed for the sixth root race. That's a ponderable, isn't it? Something that has to be really meditated upon. I could not answer such a question, but I will say that there is a great deal of courage among many women who refuse to have their culture stolen from them. And we have not yet seen this confrontation in the mode that will transpire before long. So again, even if we don't get, may I say, the pure feminine spirit, we're going to get something very necessary to balance this barbarism. That's all I can, medieval barbarism. Even if it's not perfect, we're going to get something moving towards balance. And if we don't, I think there's going to be still more hell to pay in Afghanistan and in other countries like it with the same issue. Well, you know, you're asking, do we have a meditation for Afghanistan today? And if you've been attending the vigils, Tuya has devised meditations, and there was one very complete meditation all about the different aspects of being an Afghan person, and I'm carrying on with some of that. She's coming back, and we'll be using that meditation and other meditations. So the answer is yes, we have something, at least. Okay, friends. I don't have much time now.
Okay, yeah. All right. And then Anne Veronica says, my feeling is that there is a lot of rage that has to be worked out.
Yes. And when the women really start fighting in the many ways that they can, the Taliban and those groups will have their hands a lot fuller than they anticipated. They are saying, hey, just get into your burqa. It's not going to be that. It's not going to be that. And something new and much more balanced will have to come out of all this. Okay. And yes, many are angry. Angry to have their culture stolen from them. Yes.
And yes. Then there was a question on, do we have the meditation for Afghanistan today?
Yes, I'm the one who has to give it, and that's what I'm looking at the time for, to get the other computer set up and so forth. So I can offer that meditation. It basically is the invocation of love wisdom, is what it's all about. It's a broadcast, I believe, yeah? It's a broadcast, right?
Yes, I think yes, so. It should be the broadcast. Use the normal broadcast link. Okay, that's all we've got.
Okay, everybody, so we'll continue with that, and then when Tuya is able to resettle a little bit, she and I will discuss how we will go forward with this vigil, while including many other countries in which the problem of this masculine authoritarianism is in conflict with the rightful needs of the women and the children. And right now, as I started with last night, we have the looming starvation problem, which is very dire, according to Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations. Okay, thank you, friends, for being here. I'll be on the other channel fairly shortly. And those of you who would like to attend, do they have that link, BL? Do we have it?
They should have it, but and we're going to close right now, but
yeah, it's our normal YouTube link, and it has been mailed out to you. The week has been mailed out to you, and Anne Nguyen and Tuya have seen to that, so you should have it. It's just always the same educational broadcasting channel for those broadcasts. So I don't have time really now to go digging into it, but you should have it.
Okay, I just posted it. It's in the chat.
It ends with education/live. Yeah.
Right, it's in the chat.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Just copy that if you don't know how to get there. And shortly, I'll be into that. Okay, friends, lots of love, many blessings from all of us here, and we'll continue to do what we can with what esoteric knowledge and practice that we have. So, many blessings. We'll be in touch with you.